The show's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. And we've got some theater and music to talk about on the show today. We will start with a conversation with the director of a play being produced by the McLean County Diversity Project in Bloomington. Tricia Stiller is that director, and the play is called David and Lisa. We'll hear about both the project and the play in just a few moments. And then we'll talk with Chester Always, who is music director of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. They are giving concerts this weekend, Saturday in Peoria, and Sunday in Champaign, an all-Bach program. We'll hear about that and hear some of the music coming up. Hope you'll stay tuned to Live and Local. Called Red Molly singing Gulf Coast Highway, and I had actually hoped to have an interview with one of their members today, but we missed each other on the phone yesterday, and I thought I'd at least share one or two of their songs. They're going to be performing tonight in Urbana at the Independent Media Center, sponsored by the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, Heartland Gallery, and WWHP. The concert is at 7:30. Red Molly, described as one of this country's best new Americana and roots bands. They're billed as a female vocal trio, but obviously they've got a male in their midst. And we'll hear something that shows off the full trio, I think, towards, well, at the end of this show. This is Live and Local. My guest in this portion of Live and Local on FM 90.9 is Tricia Stiller, who is the director of a play that actually opened last night. It just has two performances. The second is tonight, so we're going to see how many of you we can get interested and go out to see it. It's in Bloomington, and it's a project of the McLean County Diversity Project. The play is called David and Lisa, and originally a novel, then a film, and then this play. Is that right, Tricia?
That is correct, absolutely. And because it was a film, the play is written in really short scenes that move fairly rapidly. So it's an interesting theater experience.
Is this a film that I should have known about, or is it one that was not in was on limited release?
It's actually quite an older film. It was made in the 60s. Keir Dulay played the character of David in this film. And it's a compelling story, and he was a teenager at the time. so it was written in 1967. It's a compelling story about young minds in a residential facility for teens with mental illness. And we're doing this in partnership with the Mental Health of America, the DeWitt County Mental Health Board, and DeWitt County Human Resource Center, and as a part of Mental Health Awareness Month.
Before we hear a little bit more about the play, since it's been about a year since you and I talked, mm-hmm. I believe, mm-hmm. About the McLean County Diversity Project, why don't you tell us in general what is that all about?
You know, it was a program started by a man named Jeff Schwartz about 8 years ago, and to be honest with you, I'm still learning myself. I've only been on board for the last year, like you mentioned, but what happens is students from grades 7 through 12 can participate in the project, and through their interactions and outreach, they experience life as others experience it. They do research, they do exercises that exposes them to different types of living. And by that I mean the first time I actually shared an experience with them, they were visiting with a gentleman who was a paraplegic, and as a part of their exercise in understanding what life with that sort of challenge was like, the kids, and I think there were 20 that participated in this exercise, were given wheelchairs and asked to manipulate throughout downtown Bloomington in these chairs, getting from point A to point B, across streets, up curbs. And it really opens their eyes and helps them gain a true insight and true compassion and a true gratitude for their own blessings. I think it's an amazing program, and I wish it had been around when I myself was a student, and certainly when my own daughter was a student, because I certainly would have wanted her to experience this.
Is this something that they participate in on a regular basis, weekly, daily? How often?
You know, Kevin, I'm not certain how often that they meet as a group. I know that they have summer, like camp-like experiences, and throughout the year. But I'm terribly sorry not to have that more information for you. But they do have a website, and that's McLean County Diversity.org. So if you are interested in learning more, that's where you can find your information.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at a couple of pages from there. List a couple of current projects with students working with Ambox.
Yes, they have students, and they have to earn a certain amount of points through their participation. And with their work with Ambox, they actually build with a team of volunteer contractors. They build ramps for families who have loved ones with that need, loved ones who need a motorized chair and need access to their homes. These kids come in and help build and install these ramps for the families. It's amazing.
Special Olympics is another one, looks
mm-hmm.
like.
Mm-hmm.
Kids on the Block Puppet Troupe.
And that's an exciting outlet for the kids as well. The puppets themselves have been around since the 70s, and they were created by an educator who had a special needs child and wanted to help prepare the other students in her child's school for what to expect, to kind of eliminate fear and open dialogue. And the puppets do an amazing job advocating for kids with special needs, and it's great and a perfect fit for the Diversity Project children to have this outlet as well.
Last year, the play that the project produced was the Laramie Project.
That is correct.
And obviously that focusing on the diversity of sexuality, I guess. And
that is correct. Mm-hmm.
Trials that can bring.
Mm-hmm.
And so David and Lisa, tell us a little bit more about, either the novel, the film, the play, however they may differ from each other.
Okay, I will do my best. The project runs with a theme each year. Like you mentioned last year, they looked at hate crimes in regards to sexuality and how ignorance can be deadly, and that was their focus. Now this year, in conjunction with Mental Health Month, we are focusing on mental health issues. And in the play David and Lisa, the title characters are both students at a residential facility for adolescents with, for lack of a better term, who are disturbed. It's a compelling journey of young minds lost, searching for wholeness. And each of them have unique challenges. David's character has a very oppressive home life and has retreated into this impenetrable shell and has a paranoid fear of being touched. He just does not allow himself to have any kind of physical closeness. His only exception to that is his teddy bear, which is quite poignant. Lisa, on the other hand, has been orphaned and has spent her entire life in and out of the system in institutions and orphanages, and because of that has just not developed a true identity. And in fact, she has two that she portrays in this play, two that those are her survival techniques. She has two personalities that she confronts. In this production, the mental health professionals at the school try to give these young people the understanding and support that was missing in their personal lives, and through their experiences at the school, they've met other young people that are also there, and towards the end, as the show progresses, it follows one semester at this school. Both David and Lisa learn how to trust their caretakers. They learn how to trust themselves, and they learn how to trust each other. Not to be a spoiler, but the end of the show does have a hopeful tone. So I'm very proud of this young cast. I have kids from 7th grade through seniors in high school participating, and because I did need some adult presence in the cast, I have called upon some theater friends of mine from the vast and talented Bloomington Normal Theater community who were more than willing to volunteer their time for this production and for this project. It's been a life-changing experience for them as well. We're just, like I said, I can't really say enough about it. I'm sure you don't have that kind of time, but it's wonderful, and we're thrilled. And we're also honored to share our stage with a project friend, a gentleman named Edwin Wallett, who is an individual whose life is challenged by schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. And Edwin bravely gives a pre-show presentation and opens the floor to questions in hopes that people can get a new perspective and let go of some of their misconceptions and preconceptions, and just open the door and open the conversation so that we can all learn more about it. So
you opened the show last night. It continues with just one more performance tonight.
That's
and
correct.
Was the reception like last night, and how did your students feel when it was all done?
Well, you know what? We were pleased. We had, you know, it was an intimate gathering. I will say that we are at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, which is a rather large venue. But we had probably nearly 100 folks come to share this with us, which is good for a Tuesday night crowd, I think. And the students are just pleased. Primarily, the gentleman I mentioned earlier, Mr. Wallett, gave them probably some of the best feedback they'll ever get, and that is he felt like they understood him. And that was our point. We wanted to maintain the integrity of those who do struggle and show them in a positive light, and show them with hope and with dreams and with courage. And Mr. Wallett shared that we did that, and we did that well. And they're very proud of their work, and they have every right to be.
It's David and Lisa, a play by James Reach, based on a novel by Theodore Isaac Rubin, and screenplay by Eleanor Perry, directed by Tricia Stiller, who is also the theater, you're in charge of the whole theater element of the McLean County Diversity Project, right?
That is correct, yes.
And the remaining performance is tonight at 7 o'clock at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. A very minimal admission charge, just $7 or $5. And students with a valid ID can actually get in free with a paid adult.
Mm-hmm.
And so there should be no reason there shouldn't be more than 100 people seeing it tonight.
Well, Kevin, I appreciate that. This show deserves to be seen. These kids have worked so hard. We met two nights a week for the last 5 months. And we've just pored over this material. We've researched. We've talked. We've really, really exposed a lot of ourselves in order to feel what our characters were feeling. And they should be seen. They deserve to be seen. I do want to add that Mr. Wallett's presentation does happen before our show, so he will begin his discussion at 6. And anyone is welcome to attend that portion of the program, and then our production begins at 7 p.m.
Just one more question before I let you go. I'm actually just looking at the photos that are in the little poster that I mm-hmm. was sent. And are these pictures of your actors?
Yes.
And how did they find it taking themselves into this different mental world?
Well, I'm blessed with these young people because they're kind of old souls, both of them. They're deep thinkers. They're very, very intelligent young people with a great deal of curiosity and an equal amount of sensitivity. So they were willing to dig real, real deep and to share experiences and to listen to others who've had experiences. And, you know, I can't say enough about their commitment to the project and their willingness to really, really sink their teeth into these roles. And they just knock it out of the park. They're amazing.
And
I have to remind myself daily that they're kids.
They're just kids.
They're in high school, and they're amazing.
And what are their names and what schools do they go to?
Keaton Richard is David, and he's a senior at Bloomington High School. And Sage McCracken is a sophomore at Central Catholic High School.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I didn't have choir rehearsal tonight, I think I'd be there. I'm actually now very curious to see if I could find the novel or the film and see what it's like.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and thank you for the opportunity to have this conversation. I do hope that people would be willing to give up a Wednesday evening. There's nothing on TV. Make the short drive to Bloomington and celebrate these children doing remarkable work and making a remarkable difference.
David and Lisa, a production of the McLean County Diversity Project. For more information on the project, you can go to mcleancountydiversity.org. Tricia Stiller is my guest here on Live and Local, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Kevin.
That was one of the less familiar movements from what's overall quite a familiar piece by Johann Sebastian Bach, his overture or orchestral suite in B minor, numbered, generally referred to as number 2, and we heard the Sarabande movement, which is the 3rd out of 7, a performance by Musica Antiqua of Cologne, conducted by Reinhard Goebel, on what is this show? Live and Local on FM 90.9. I tried to say Live and Local and WYLL FM at the same time. That doesn't work, but this is WYLL FM Urbana. I'm Kevin Kelly. And we played the music of Bach. In fact, we're going to have almost exclusively Bach for the rest of the program because the Bach group, the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, hence BACH, are performing an all Bach program twice this weekend. You can hear them for the first time, Chet,
mm-hmm.
in Peoria.
We'll see if it plays in Peoria.
Yeah, we'll find out how they like their Baroque music. That's at 8 o'clock Saturday evening at Trinity Lutheran Church in Peoria. And then they'll be in their home base in Champaign this Sunday at St. John's Lutheran Church on Mattis Avenue or
mm-hmm.
Mattis Street?
Mattis Avenue,
7:30. Mm-hmm. on Sunday. And that is the voice of Chester Always, who is the music director of the Baroque Artists. And I don't know how many times Chet has now been on the show, but he is far and away my most frequent guest.
It's always a pleasure.
Well, likewise. Otherwise, we just wouldn't keep having you back. Besides, you guys always play nice music.
Thank you.
And it's nice to have some classical music occasionally on this program, which gets dwarfed by many other kinds of acoustic music, which is actually quite a bit of fun to explore everything. So when was the last you did an all Bach program?
It's been a long time. We did the St. John Passion several years ago, but and that was a one large work. But I mean, devoting an entire program of diverse, we have to go back 10, 15 years, probably 10 years, I'd say.
Well, you've been focusing in this last year on Handel exclusively.
Yeah, we did all Handel in 2009. And so this was part of escaping from that and having a kind of counterweight. But it was, as I was telling you off air, when we'd been trying for a couple of years to get this concert in Peoria set up, and initially it was scheduled to be, I thought, or at least I thought it was, part of the Peoria Bach Festival, which doesn't happen until June. And so this concert is really kind of a preliminary, a kind of tease for their own festival, which is happening in mid-June. But we're doing it at a very large and beautiful Lutheran church, quite near the Catholic Cathedral in Peoria, with very nice acoustics. And so when I thought it's going to be for a Bach festival, I decided we had to do an all-Bach program. And the fact that it's on the weekend of Pentecost led to the decision to do Der Geist hilft unserer Schwachheit auf,
which is one of the motets.
Which is the second motet. And the only thing about it that's related to Pentecost is the chorale that's appended at the end, which most scholars believe was added later to make it specifically appropriate for that particular feast. Without that chorale, it's pretty generic. It's Romans 8, so it's not related to Pentecost in any way. And I'd also ask Amanda Pond to play the second orchestral suite. So I decided to do the Missa Brevis in A major, which was also scored for flutes and strings. And then I had pieces in B-flat, A, and B-natural. So I had to find a piece in C to spell out the name B-A-C-H.
And for those who aren't up on this sort of thing, H in German is the indication for
B-natural.
Yeah.
So B-flat, A, C, B-natural. It's a motive that Bach himself used any number of times, most notably in the Art of Fugue and in the final canonic variation on Von Himmelhoch, sort of signing his name to his own music and picked up by other people later on in the 19th century.
Well, Shostakovich is one who did that.
Schumann and Liszt and Shostakovich and others who have used that motive. So I've constructed a program that is constructed of four pieces that outline Bach's name, not in, as you pointed out, and not in the correct order, because it didn't work out that way from a programmatic point of view. So we're starting with an unaccompanied suite for cello in C major, which is the C major piece that Benjamin Hayek will play, and then the motet Der Geist hilft, and then the Mass in A, and then the B minor suite.
Well, since you've mentioned a bit the motet, there are four motets, right? Or there are more than that? I'm forgetting now.
There are six. In the canon, as it were, of that. There are others, pieces that are motet-like, that it gets kind of dicey from a scholarly point of view, musicological point of view. But there's six that have generally been, over the years, in the Bach canon, starting with 225, Singet im Herrn, through 230, Lobet in Herrn.
And there's, I mean, this particular recording we're going to sample here has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah. There are a number of other pieces that are motet-like. I don't know what's on that on the disc aside from those six.
I'll let you look at it while we listen.
All right, fine. Then we can talk about that if you'd like afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. We'll listen to at least some of Der Geist hilft unsere Schwachheit auf, The Spirit Makes Our Weakness Strong, one translation of that opening line in any event. And we're hearing the Gechinger Kantorei of Stuttgart and the Bach Collegium, also of Stuttgart, conducted by Helmut Rilling here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. portion of the motet by Bach, Der Geist hilft unsere Schwachheit auf, The Spirit makes our weakness strong. Performance here by the Kantorei Bach Collegium of Stuttgart, led by Helmut Rilling. And you can hear the complete motet. It's about 9-8 minutes long, depending on how fast you take it, by the Baroque artists of Champaign-Urbana and their illustrious chorus, with organist Timothy Spellbring and cellist Benjamin Haig and conductor Chester Always, who's my guest on Live and Local. Baroque artists performing that work as part of an all-Bach program twice this weekend, Saturday in Peoria at 8 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church, and Sunday in Champaign at 7:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church. Timothy Spellbring, organist, who's he?
He's a graduate student from Greenville, Illinois, who was at Eastman and got disenchanted with conservatory life. And Dana Robinson, my good friend and your friend too, I mean, the organ professor here snagged him and got him to Illinois, and we're all delighted that he did because he's a fantastic player.
I think, a history of almost exchange of sorts between U of I and Eastman. The former organ professor from here went there.
Yeah, and Michael Ferris.
Died rather quickly.
Yes, unfortunately.
And quite tragically.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's been others, but it seems to me I've heard of some now and then.
Well, I was adjunct professor at Eastman for 2 years.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
Well, and I know music education string person, Louis Bergonzi,
yes,
came from Eastman,
right,
to teach here. So.
That's right, yeah.
Well, you know, all these illustrious schools,
yeah, right,
of music trade people.
I had a parking place. That's about all I had at Eastman.
That's probably more than you got here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was free.
Does anybody get parking places here?
Not unless you pay for them.
Yeah, well, and pay quite a lot.
But
we'll talk about a digression. So that motet on the program.
I might point out one little tidbit, Kevin. That particular piece is interesting in the motets because it's one of the 4 8 voice motets, but it's the only one of the motets, whatever number you ascribe that genre to contain, for which there exist instrumental parts written in Bach's own hand. He had cola parte, that is, instruments doubling the voices of the two choirs, choir one with strings, choir two with winds. And that's become normal now in the performance, but the only sort of smoking gun, if you will, for that practice was this particular piece.
And are you using instruments?
No.
For this one?
Because it would have meant hiring oboes.
Now that you've said that. Yeah, well, I guess on the orchestral suite that you're doing, you just need the flute.
No, I'm just using flutes and strings for the program, which, as you know, you build programs around what you have, and you don't want to hire additional players to do one piece if you can avoid it.
Well, if you can avoid it, I've sort of made a practice of not avoiding it until, you know, these days of extreme frugality.
There we are.
Yeah. Is this going to be your last concert of the season? Sometimes you do a June concert.
We're doing a summer choral concert, actually, on July 18th.
Oh, wonderful.
Its title is Anything But Bach.
Anything But Bach.
Yes.
And does that also mean any non-Baroque, or is it all going to be Baroque?
No, it's mostly non-Baroque. We're doing the Neue Liebeslieder Waltzes by Brahms with Reed Alexander and Joellen de Vilbes. And one of our recent doctoral completions, Nelly Matova, who still lives in town, is conducting 4 Shakespeare songs by Jaakko Mäntyjärvi, a contemporary Finnish composer. They're wonderful pieces. A cappella chorus. Laurie Matheson has written a brand new piece specifically for the Bach chorus, and that will be premiered at that concert. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
And she's one of your singers.
She's one of the singers. And I asked her if she wanted to conduct it, and she said, no, I don't think so. I think I'll let you do that. And so once I've seen that, I'll have a better idea of what else I'm going to program on that concert. But it may be totally non-Baroque, in fact, but if it's Baroque, there will be no 18th century music. It might have some 17th century German music or Monteverdi. I'm not sure. There's things we're playing with, you know, but it's going to be an all choral concert.
And the choir is the one aspect of of the baroque artists that actually keeps going all year?
We started out as a program-based, you know, kind of a project-based group. There was no standing core ensemble aside from Continuo. In a way, sort of like your group. I mean, the Prairie Ensemble is defined by the repertory for a given concert. Is that correct?
Yeah, to a degree. More so this past season and probably next.
Right. But the chorus has become, by simply their own persistence and enthusiasm, the pervasive, continuous aspect of the organization. They rehearse every Saturday, and that affects the repertory we do to a certain degree. There was always choral music there, but now that we have a kind of chorus that meets full time, they have to be factored into planning each year's program. But last year in the summer, we did Dixit Dominus by Handel and some Mendelssohn, and it was there's nothing going on in the town chorally in the summer. Very little going on musically, and so it was a very successful concert. And we realized we didn't have to have an orchestra. We had a nice crowd. We actually almost made money, which is unheard of. And so we're going to do it again.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Concert will be at the United Church of Christ on 6th and Wright.
Well, I'm sure you'll be back to talk about it.
If you have me, I'll come back. We might even be able to perform something for you.
Well, yeah, if we can get you in the studio, I'll have to show you our performance studio and see what kind of space we've got available. We'd love to do that. Yeah. More performances, the better, because, you know, there's, as you pointed out, there's
live and
not that much going on in the summer.
And, right.
Yeah. And so I've got to be looking for guests all the time and get some pretty interesting ones, too.
Yeah.
A lot of old-time music ends up happening. At least last summer, we had a lot of old-time music on the show might as well mention this, for the CU Folk and Roots Festival, which is going to have its second time around this coming September. And I'll play a little bit from a group that they're sponsoring, appearance they're sponsoring tonight by this group called Red Molly that we sampled at the beginning of the hour. And this will be what follows you.
Okay.
A little old-time sort of bluegrass stuff.
Oh, I love that music.
Yeah. Well, Are you from Kentucky?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, from Louisville.
Well, where's the accent?
I don't know. I lost it somewhere along the way.
Somewhere in Illinois.
Yeah.
Or at Eastman or wherever. Let's play a little bit of the piece that is opening your concert, the C part of the B-A-C-H spelling of the various keys on the program. This is the opening movement of the third of Bach's unaccompanied cello suites in C major. And I guess he's just doing... No, he's doing the whole thing, isn't he?
He's doing the whole thing. I think he may be shortening or not taking some of the repeats just to try to keep the length down, because otherwise the program will go on for quite a lengthy time. So I don't know, because he asked me if he could do that, and I said that would be fine because I was concerned about length.
Sure. Well, he is Benjamin Hayek. He's actually been on the show a couple times.
And I'm sure this will be a spectacular performance.
Yeah, he's really turning into something. We don't know yet if he's going to be playing on a Baroque cello or a viola da gamba.
I would suspect a Baroque cello, but we'll see.
The performer we're going to hear now, who is not Ben Hayek, is Anner Bylsma. He is performing on a Baroque cello, a Stradivarius, no less. Mm. And this is the opening movement from the third Bach cello suite here in Live and Local. The opening movement of the third unaccompanied cello suite by Johann Sebastian Bach, Anner Bylsma here on Live and Local. You can hear that complete piece played by Benjamin Hayek on the concerts this weekend by the Baroque artists of Champaign-Urbana. They're doing it twice. First time they're playing in Peoria at 8 o'clock Saturday at Trinity Lutheran Church there, and at 7:30 on Sunday at St. John's Lutheran Church on Mattis Avenue. My guest on this portion of Live and Local, Chester Allways, who was music director of Bach. Going back to the Peoria performance, you said they're doing a Bach Fest in June.
Mm-hmm.
Who's putting on that festival, you know?
I think that John Jost, who's at Bradley, has a lot to do with that. And I think the fellow who's the music director at Trinity Lutheran, Martin, and I can't remember his last name. Oh, that's terrible. I've only met him once, but the music director there is also heavily involved in that. But I think they're doing a Matthew Passion, I want to say.
With maybe combined forces from the community.
Uh-huh. And it's in June. I don't have
bringing in some guests.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to, maybe you can give me the contact when we're done, and I'll check it out and have somebody over here to talk about it.
Yep. That'd be great.
Because
I'm sure they would love to have the publicity.
We do have listeners in Peoria.
Yeah, and I'm planning to go over for the Matthew Passion. I think it's the second week in June.
Yeah, we'll have to check it out. By the way, I apologize that I'm going to be committed with another concert the night of yours in Champaign.
Ah, well.
That was an inadvertent scheduling of the youth orchestra concert at the same time.
I'm sorry that we conflict.
Yeah,
that's not ever a good thing.
No, we always try to avoid it, but man, I'll tell you what, trying to avoid kids' schedules is worse than trying to avoid anybody else's, particularly when you're talking about 55 kids at different
schools.
At
this time of year, with proms and, you know, all kinds of musicals and stuff going on in high schools. I mean,
yeah. So my profound apologies to anybody who is interested in both and will now have to choose because Chet did.
Well, they could come to Peoria on
first.
Saturday night.
They could come to Peoria. That's right.
That's right. It's that long a trip.
No, and it's rather a nice drive actually.
Yeah, you can go out and have a nice dinner there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go. Problem solved.
Solved. Yeah.
Exactly. So let's talk about this Mass, a Missa Brevis.
Not so brevis, actually. I mean,
well, I only knew one Mass of Bach.
And that's the B minor.
The big B minor.
And it started its life as a Missa Brevis, although it was even less short.
And Missa Brevis just technically means short
in
Mass.
Or so-called Lutheran Mass, which is the Lutheran version of the Missa Brevis, is just the Kyrie and the Gloria. And that's what Bach wrote and submitted to the king of Poland, who used to be the Elector of Saxony, his boss, who became a Catholic in order to become king of Poland. And Bach was trying to get out of Leipzig at that point. He was fed up with the town council. And so he asked for the appointment as royal court composer to the king of Poland. And he wrote this piece in 1733 and sent it off to Leipzig. We don't know if it was performed or not, but he eventually got the position about 4 or 5 years later. By that point, it was purely an honorific kind of titular position, and he wasn't going to take him out of Leipzig. But he'd made the commitment when he sent this in that if you hire me to do this, I will write music like this for you anytime you want. And so it's largely thought that these other four Missa Brevi were a result of that promise. They are all, mostly, almost all of them that we know are contrived of parodies, retexting of sacred cantata movements that Bach had already, you know, composed and just found a new utility for them in this format. They're wonderful pieces, each of which has, all of them have six movements, three of which are choral and three of which are solo.
We're going to hear the Kyrie, which is the opening of the one you're doing in A major.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one that is not a parody or a borrowing from another piece.
No, we don't know the source of this music. It's very French. That fits in nice with the B minor suite, which is a very French style piece too. But it's scored for two flutes and strings. And the middle section, I don't know how this recording will do it, is a kind of recitative-like with sustained, slowly moving harmonies with imitative vocal entries, and the imitations are, in fact, a four-voice canon. We're doing it with soloists, but I don't know what this recording is going to do. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. It's the Vocal Ensemble and Chamber Orchestra of Lausanne. Michel Corbos is the director, and it's the Kyrie from the Missa Brevis in A major of Johann Sebastian Bach here on Live and Local. Thank you. And we heard, basically two-thirds of the Kyrie by Bach from his Missa Brevis, or short mass, relatively short mass in A major, performed by the Vocal Ensemble and Chamber Orchestra of Lausanne, conducted by Michel Corbeau. The entire mass will be performed by the choir and soloists of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana under the direction of Chester Alwys, with strings accompanying there. And the soloists all come from the choir?
Yes, there are eight different soloists used in the mass.
And that will be part of an all-Bach program given twice this weekend. Saturday in Peoria at Trinity Lutheran Church. That starts at 8 o'clock. Sunday in Champaign at 7:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church. And been pleased to have Chet on the program. Chester Alwys, music director of the Baroque Artists. And I'm sure we'll welcome you back in advance of this non-Bach, anything but Bach program for the choir.
You said July 18th.
Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun.
We'll look forward to it.
Thanks as always.
Thanks, Kevin.
And enjoy the concert, everybody who can go out and hear it. Here are some other things you can go hear. Let me mention just real fast. Sangamon Valley Community Orchestra is performing in Springfield tonight at 7:30 at the Hoagland Center for the Arts. It's the Irish Traditional Music Session at Bentley's Pub in Champaign. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. Trumpeter Ray Sasaki is featured with the Jazz Sextet tonight at 5 o'clock at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. And Billy Galt and Jeff Carr, guitar and vocals at V Picasso tonight at 6 o'clock. And we'll tell you more on tomorrow's show. The forecast calls for a mostly sunny afternoon with a high of 72. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, the low 52. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness with a high of 72. And we have support for our programs today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. Another concert you can hear this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, is Amasong, program called Women's Words, Women's Voices. They're going to join us on tomorrow's Live and Local at noon. This is WYLL, FM and HD Urbana, operating translators, W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana, the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. Red Molly is at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana tonight at 7:30. We'll go out with them.
I see that girl with the swinging hips, midnight hair, and the roomy lips. Just one look in her emerald eyes.